Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. More pets are now classified as overweight or obese than ever. A new study by the Association for Pet Obesity Prevention says nearly 54% of dogs and 59% of cats in the U.S. are too heavy. Dr. Christy Teets is a vet with TLC Pet Hospital in Rapid City. She joins us now with more. Dr. Teets, welcome to In the Moment.
Good morning from Rapid City, South Dakota.
Good morning from Sioux Falls, South Dakota, and Vermilion. We're all plugged in. Everyone's listening. So tell us, how long has, obesity and heavy pets been a problem? Is it worse than ever?
Well, I've been practicing a little over 30 years, and I would say obesity has been the most common nutritional disease I have seen throughout 30 years. I think we have about the same number of pets. The one good thing we have is owners are becoming aware of obesity and seeking assistance.
How do you know? Is it through vet checkups or is it through observation? How do you know that your pet is getting too heavy?
I think probably if you're questioning whether your pet's too heavy, put your fingers over their ribs and see whether or not you can feel their ribs easily, or whether you're feeling some soft, squishy fat that's laying down over the ribs. If you have a question, take them in to see their veterinarian.
Is it like humans where they have, sort of a BMI relative to their size, relative to the breed of dog, for example, that makes a difference?
We do. We tend to scale them based off of their skeletal structure and their breed as to how heavy they are. But we have to look at each pet individually to assess them.
All right. So what's behind it? How come it's a problem?
Well, I think it boils down most of the time to being as simple as they're consuming too many calories and not getting enough exercise. Doesn't that sound like a common issue?
I was going to say, does it mirror our own lifestyle issues that we have? Is sort of transferring those to our pets?
I think it is. And I think we have so many pets that are surrogate children in their families and households. And I think food and food rewards are one of our ways to interact with our pets and to feel like we're participating. Maybe we feel bad because we left them by themselves for a little while, so we give them an extra cookie when we come home, some of those things. And I think we use food for us as part of that interaction and bonding with our pets as well as for the pet.
How about dog or pet food itself? Is that nutritionally balanced, or is that part of the problem as well? Is it mostly people food that we're struggling with?
I think it's both. I think with pet foods, we have good nutrition in the majority of diets that are out there, but I think we tend to overfeed them. I know many times people will tell me, well, I feed the amount that's on the bag. And for many pets, that may be too much for that individual. We have to adjust to the individual. I think feeding our leftovers and table scraps is also a contributing factor, but I think they're just eating just too many calories.
Should we put a complete ban on any kind of food that's not processed dog or cat food, or is there a way to supplement or feed? I mean, I grew up on a farm, so we gave the cats scraps. We didn't buy food at all. Is that bad now, or how do we approach that?
Well, I don't think it's necessarily bad, but I think when we have, for example, a pet that's too heavy and we're assessing what to do with them, I think it needs to start with a good physical exam from their doctor. They may need to have some blood work done to find out if they have any other underlying issues that we need to take into account nutritionally as well. But I think people need assistance. We find most of the time, if they just cut the regular diet they're feeding down to really low levels so they can actually achieve weight loss, they may not be meeting all of the nutritional needs for their pet.
Sure. So how hard is it then once, a pet goes over where they should be for their own health? How hard is it to bring them back and keep them in nutritional balance, as it were?
Well, I think the nutritional balance is easier to achieve than the total commitment to follow through and not give them the extra calories or the extra treats or the extra table scraps. Mm. I think making that commitment throughout the entire family becomes a really hard issue.
Right? Everybody who owns a pet knows exactly what you're talking about right now. Because there's always one person, isn't there?
There is.
So you're part counselor and psychologist, too, when you work with pet owners.
Absolutely. And I think it has to be a joint effort.
Mm-hmm.
The pet owners need the veterinarian to help give them the best quality advice. And the veterinarian needs the owner in order to actually deliver the appropriate care for the pet.
Yeah. What kind of underlying issues are you talking about that could be contributing to the problem?
Well, we have occasional pets that may be hypothyroid. And if they're too low in thyroid, their metabolic rate is much slower. And so that may need to be corrected as well. We also know that obesity contributes to arthritis, to heart disease, to liver disease, to diabetes. We find these pets have heat intolerance, exercise intolerance. They have increased risks for anesthesia or surgery. So there are a lot of things that we kind of need to look at when we look at the individual pet and decide what's the best food or the best program for the individual.
So how do you exercise, say, a cat? Is exercise is part of that rehabilitation program, or is it just a food reduction issue?
It's both. It has to be both. We find many cats like to chase laser lights. We find that I've had clients sit with their measured amount of food and toss individual kibbles for the kitty to go get.
And work for it.
The kitty's moving. Right.
I have a tortoise. Do tortoises get overweight?
They probably could. especially, let's talk about cats again for just a moment.
Sure.
Cats in nature are true carnivores and they're absolute hunters. Mm. And they spend a great deal of their time and energy and effort hunting for their food. And we bring them into our household and all of their food is for free.
Mm.
So we find that cats, sometimes it's a little more difficult to kind of figure out, how do we get them up and active and actually earning their dinner?
Right. And then what about food stealing? So that's what my dog does. She finds wherever that food is. If you really have to be careful when you leave the house with that dog, or she'll tear open your backpack. Is that just behavioral, or is she not getting enough food?
She's probably not overweight. It's probably behavioral. We find that lots of pets are company eaters. They want to be around their people. But we also find that the food stealing and the trash and those types of things really become management issues in the household.
All right. Well, we'll have to start a Q&A question. People can call in and you can tell us how to fix some of those problems, because I sure would like to know how to reverse that path. But we're out of time for today. So, Dr. Christy Tease, thank you so much for being here with us.
You're sure welcome, and thank you.
And she is with
Healthy Pets to All.
Healthy Pets to All. She's with TLC in Rapid City. We thank her for her time.